Great. So for the last part of our session here, I just wanted to spend some time talking about the importance of community-based participatory research approach methods in improving the health of individuals that are leaving prison, and in particular to end talking about or using the framework of our transitions clinic evaluation as a launching point to talk about why CBPR is important. All right, so as Shira had mentioned, we had developed this clinic in San Francisco and had, importantly, had input from community organizations, patients, about how this clinic model ought to be adapted. And one of the issues, I think, always is whenever you're starting new programs, you think it's a great idea, you're pretty certain it is, you've talked to all these patients, but I think one piece that's often missing is a more rigorous evaluation. Does it make sense for foundations, for cities, states, to spend the funds on the programs you've established? And so it was important to us to have a rigorous evaluation of the clinic, and in keeping with the manner in which the clinic was started, we felt it was important to use a CBPR approach. And so CBPR is defined here by the Kellogg Foundation as a collaborative process that equitably involves all partners in research, so both the community and the researchers, and recognizes the unique strengths it brings. And essentially what it means is that from the very beginning to the very end, community individuals, so patients, organizations, whomever you believe is part of this community is involved in all parts of the design, implementation, analysis, and dissemination of the research. And so, as Shira had mentioned, our community was actually quite broad. It started with our patients, but it also included community organizations, partners, including legal services for prisoners with children. It included individuals from the San Francisco Department of Public Health. We defined it broadly given thinking about how our clinic might be sustained in the future, so we also included the Public Defender's Office, the Mayor's Office. All of us were part of the Safe Communities Reentry Council, which is a local reentry council in San Francisco, as well as California state legislators. And we sat down with each of these individuals to talk about exactly how this evaluation ought to look, what were the key pieces of data that would be important were this clinic to be sustained in an ongoing fashion. And so you can imagine that this was kind of a difficult process. So for us as physicians, as providers, we were really interested in how the patients were doing, and the patients as well. So we were interested in thinking about things like how was their diabetes, what was their A1C, what was their blood pressure. We were interested in their satisfaction in the clinic. And the other end, we had the state legislatures and legislators, individuals in the Department of Public Health, more interested in their primary care utilization patterns, acute care utilization patterns. And so we generated consensus among our groups and felt like, especially among our patients, they said it was most important for us to think about what would sustain the clinic in the future, and so settled on this research question. Does parolee-specific care at Transitions Clinic, as Shira had defined, does that improve primary care utilization and acute care utilization? And so the next step then was discussing our study design. And again, this was a very difficult process. Partially because the program had already started. And so in an ideal world, if you're evaluating a program, what you'd start is a randomized controlled trial evaluating, comparing in one arm no transitions clinic to now the new program. And this, we felt like, was unethical given that the program had already been established and we knew that there were high rates of death immediately upon release. And so what we settled on was doing a randomized controlled trial, but comparing on one arm a transitions clinic, so a primary care-based care management program, Shira defined, where there was a physician that had experience working with individuals that had been formerly incarcerated, a community health worker, and these partnerships with community organizations. And on the other arm, what we had was an expedited referral to a safety net clinic. And so what this meant was that everyone would still get their transitional visit. And then from their transitional visit at the clinic, if they were interested and met inclusion criteria, they would be offered the opportunity to participate and then get a four-week appointment, either randomly assigned in Transitions Clinic or this expedited primary care clinic in the safety net. at baseline, what this involved was a 45-item baseline interview, and then we looked at 12-month outcomes. So we looked at primary outcomes, and like I said, this was primary care utilization and ED visits. And then our secondary outcomes, we were able to look at ED rate, hospitalization, return to jail, and days to reincarceration. And so we started enrollment in 2007 and completed enrollment in 2009. Essentially, our inclusion criteria was individuals, adults with chronic medical conditions or those over 50 years of age who presented to their transitional clinic at our transitions clinic. 208 patients were assessed for eligibility, and 200 individuals underwent randomization. So 98 were randomized to transitions and 102 to this expedited primary care visit. And so at baseline, what we found, not surprisingly, was that the majority of participants were Black, they're male, they're poor. 90% had two or more chronic medical conditions. And interestingly, 40% were first diagnosed with their chronic condition in prison. And so this just emphasizes that many of these individuals actually are first accessing their health care while incarcerated and didn't know how to navigate the health care system post-release. Many of them were newly diagnosed with diabetes and hepatitis C, and so they were new to the entire healthcare system in San Francisco. 67% also reported using the emergency department as their regular source of care prior to this last incarceration. Percent of individuals who reported using a daily medication didn't have a medication upon release. And then 14% of individuals actually had already visited the emergency department within the 2 weeks post-release from the time they made it to their transitional visit. So that's 14%. I'm sorry about these slides. So this slide is a little bit difficult to see, but these are the results of our randomized control trial. So again, what you can see here are 12-month outcomes, and I'll just walk you through this slide. In the leftmost column, you have the outcomes. In the middle column, those randomized to transitions, and then finally those randomized to expedited primary care. And so that first row two was our primary outcome. It's two or more visits to their assigned clinic, and this is with an intention to treat analysis. And what you can see is that approximately 37% of individuals in transitions clinic and 47% of individuals who were randomized to expedited primary care made it to two or more visits to their assigned clinic, and there was no statistical difference between these two arms. But moving to our second primary outcome, what you can see is that in looking at emergency department use, 25% of individuals were seen in the emergency department, and compared to 39% in the expedited primary care arm, and this is a statistically significant difference. We also looked at hospitalizations, and as you can see here, there was no difference in rates of hospitalizations and no difference in any incarceration in the San Francisco County Jail. The rates were actually quite high, about 56%. I just do want to point your attention to that second row there, any visit to a primary care provider, just to point out the fact that among in both groups, in spite of the fact that there wasn't a difference, this is going back to Kathy's point, is that in providing individuals access to care, you can see that people actually do show up. So approximately more than 60% made it to their first primary care appointment in our study. This here is looking at one-year ED utilization rates, and so the blue columns here are those that were randomized to a community clinic to expedited primary care, and those in that lime green were randomized to the transitions clinic. And so in looking at the leftmost columns, what you can see is that fewer people in the transitions clinic went to the emergency department. I actually think that the fewer people went to the emergency department as compared to in the four or more visits to the emergency department. And when we looked at the incident rate ratio, it's approximately a 51% decrease in the emergency department visits over a year. So those that were randomized had a 50 to Transitions Clinic had a 51% reduction in using the ED. And so for some limitations, what we didn't have were any measures of the types of services provided or the costs of the services. We also don't have any data from the neighboring counties or any data on the other sources of health care in San Francisco outside the safety net. So these data were abstracted, I should have said this earlier, from the administrative database from the safety net system in the San Francisco County. So we don't know, have any data from private hospitals. But for the most part, the vast majority of individuals that are released from prison are utilizing the safety net system. And given our design, one of the things that's important to note is that these might have been individuals that are predisposed to get primary care because they all made it to their transitional clinic visit. And so what we can conclude here is that first, recently released individuals will engage in primary care if they're given early access to care. As I pointed out, about 60% made it, that means they made it first to a transitional visit and then made it to a primary care appointment. And the second conclusion is that a primary care-based care management program like Transitions Clinic does reduce emergency department visits over 12 months follow-up. And so what I wanted to end here is just that to highlight the importance of using CBPR methods. I think our data here strongly suggests that creating a transitions clinic-like program is meaningful in terms of acute care utilization patterns. But let's say that we hadn't found that this was the case. I think the important thing is that all our partners and our community, as we broadly defined it, understood the limitations of the study design and the clinic we had the question that we had asked. And so if our results hadn't shown these findings, that this wouldn't necessarily have hurt the sustainability of our clinic. That said, I think it has been great because they've been equal partners. They've been apprised of our study throughout the process, that our funders and the Department of Public Health has been incredibly supportive. And so we have been able to sustain our clinic and get additional fundings for our program. The second main point that I wanted to bring out was that our recruitment and participation in our study were excellent. And I think that this is typically a population that is loath to participate in studies. And I think that this speaks to the kind of broad-reaching outreach that we made prior to starting the study. And then finally, our hope is that by using CBPR methods that we'd enhance dissemination. And so I just wanted to end here by saying that, as Shira mentioned, we are starting the Transitions Clinic Network, and one key component of this will be supporting community clinics in sites throughout the country in CBPR research and evaluation, in so far as that we're able to jointly collect data together that both improves the science and our understanding of the health of individuals leaving prison. And with that, I just want to thank you guys for your attention.